We're in Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 13 through 26. Encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the pew Bibles that are there. This is the second part of John, chapter 17. Chapter 17 is kind of the final part of Jesus with his disciples in the upper room and part of his discourse there. Jesus has given a lot of teaching to his disciples, and chapter 17 is a prayer. Last week we did the first part of John 17, and we found our focus there in looking at eternal life that we're given. And it's an amazing eternal life that is assured by God. And it brings a unity that is with God, a unity with one another, and has the marks of joy and love. And in that discourse in the evening, chapters 14 through 17, there are key words that pop up again and again. And these words are joy and love and truth. And these words become so important to John as he hears them from Jesus, and he reflects on them over the years, and he lives by them through the Spirit at work within him, that when he writes his letters, those are the major themes: joy and love and truth. And John, and indeed Peter as well, and Paul, the New Testament writers, They hold on to these themes. They don't let truth fall by the wayside, because it is so much connected to love and joy. So we come now to this part of the prayer. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, John 17, verses 13 through 26. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Remember, he's praying to the Father. So when he says, I'm coming to you, it's Jesus says, I'm coming to you, Father. And he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Well, before we expound upon this word, let's again be in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to find truth, and your word here says that your word is truth. And so make it clear to us. Make it alive within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is praying here for his disciples. And then he says, I pray also for all who will believe. That's us, isn't it? It's an incredible thing to think about. This prayer is what Jesus is praying for us. So we come as people of faith, believing that and finding hope. So Jesus is praying this for us. What is he praying? One of the things he's praying for here is that we would be sanctified. And to be sanctified is to be made pure or to be set apart for holy use. In our Reformed tradition, we hold on to certain truths, certain doctrines that are precious to us. One of them is what we call justification by faith alone. We are justified. We are made right with God through what Jesus did. So his death on the cross paid the penalty for our sin, and so we are able to be made right with God through faith. We're trusting in what Jesus did. So that's a one-time act of Jesus, and we continue to believe that. Now we have been justified, but there's another precious doctrine that's called sanctification. And that's more of an ongoing process. That is being made holy or purified so that we can be set apart for God. And in this lifetime, we are not completely sanctified or purified. It is an ongoing process. But it is much like justification in that it is believing in what Jesus did for us. And it's trusting that the Holy Spirit is at work within us to bring about sanctification or this purification. So when we use these words sanctification, we have a better idea of what we're talking about. Also, just so you know that in one verse here, verse 19, Jesus says, for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. The same word is used there in the Greek for when Jesus says, I consecrate myself and they may be sanctified. Same word, just translated into English differently, perhaps for style or perhaps just because of the way it's used. Jesus will say, I consecrate myself. I am setting myself apart. So we'll hit that a little bit later. But let's begin first with the importance of this prayer. I mean, why is Jesus praying for us? And he's doing that, he says, to keep us from the evil one. He doesn't want us removed from the world. He wants us in the world. And part of the purpose that's shared here is that as we are out in the world, and as people see God's love at work within us, and that we are one, there is a unity that we have. See how we love one another, and that we are unified with God, that people will be drawn into that. So we are to be in the world, but not of the world. So Jesus is concerned for us about the influence of Satan. And he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So while we are in this world, we are not to be separatists, and there have been Christian movements that have said we need to remove ourselves from all these influences and just separate ourselves and be God's people. And that's not what Jesus wants. It's very clear right here. But neither are we to be assimilated into the world and its values, its goals or focus, or its devotion, what you worship. And so there's something very specific about who we are and what we're called to be and to do. And our values are not the same values as the world. We might share some of the same values, at least on one level, but our ultimate goals And the motives behind fulfilling those are different. Our motivation is strictly loving God and feeling the joy of God. It's to have that eternity with God. There's truth that is a general truth in this world, and we share some of that truth out there, but there is also distortion of truth. And the evil one is very subtle. From the beginning, whether we look at what was happening with Adam and Eve and the very subtle temptation, and what it did is it twisted the word of God. Well, didn't God say to you that you couldn't eat of any of these trees? Distortion of what God said when he said, just don't eat of this tree. And when we come to the temptation of Jesus, and as Satan tries to tempt him, he's just slightly manipulating things. Jesus quotes back the word of God, and Satan's able to quote it right back to him and trying to distort it. See, truth can be out there, and at times it's even the truth that's here in Scripture, but a slight turn. And so we're off course. And at first we don't think we're off course by very much, but pretty soon we're way off course. And Satan is very, very good at that. So here's the good news. Jesus is praying for you. Praying for you not to be influenced by Satan. Praying for you to hold on to truth. And we'll see this as we continue to move through the chapter here. So as Jesus is praying for us, we know that it's more than that. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus consecrated himself for our sake. Purified himself. Jesus is the only one who could do something like hang on a cross and have its impact be for somebody else other than himself. And that it could impact as many as would trust in him. So Jesus had the authority and the power to consecrate himself. He hung upon the cross, took our sins upon him, and then released. Resurrected to demonstrate his power and his glory. And so Jesus purifies himself. We receive the benefit. It makes it possible for us now to be not just justified one time, but sanctified. For God to do his work within us so that we will be able to stand before him throughout eternity pure. Not because of our purity, but because of the purity of Jesus that will work itself out in us completely. So Jesus consecrates himself. And then he's going to talk a little bit about how this happens. How are we consecrated? So we come to verses 17 through 19, and here's his prayer. Jesus speaking to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. How are we sanctified? How are we purified? It all has to do with truth. Yes, it's God's grace working itself in our lives, but it is not disassociated from absolute, objective truth. Truth. And that is because God is truth and his word is truth. Truth reveals reality, which I would define as the world as God sees it. The one who created everything. He has defined reality. So the true reality is the way that God views his creation. And then there is falsehood, lies. distortions, the things that just completely take away from reality. And for us to figure out the difference, sometimes it's really obvious and sometimes not so clear. But the more that we're exposed to truth and see it as truth, the easier it becomes to see the lies that are there. And it's when we don't understand the truth, when we don't seek the truth, that we're more in those gray areas that we just have a hard time seeing what God wants us to do. When John wrote his letters, so years after he experienced what Jesus prayed here, John was seeing more clearly truth. And for him, it was just, there is truth, there is lies. There is love, there is hate. I mean, he did not see gray area there. And it's because truth had become very crystal clear to him. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, was at work within John, and the same Spirit is at work within us. Now, the Spirit of truth, we just have to go back a few minutes in Jesus' discourse with his disciples, back into chapter 16, and where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit who's going to come. And refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So it's not us by ourselves determining what truth is. It is God through the Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, revealing it to us, testifying what is true, and also revealing what is false. So the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. It's the same message that Paul had in 2 Thessalonians that Carolyn read earlier. There is a sanctification that is coming through truth. God is at work changing our heart, but our minds as well. So important for our minds to be transformed. We are renewed in the image of the Son of God. And so we're gaining the mind of Christ. So Jesus is praying for that to happen. This truth. Truth is important. Now we live in a culture that right now is challenging objective truth. It's always been there, right? I mean, we can find evidence of that in writings that are hundreds of years old, even thousands. We look at the work of Satan and his temptations to distort truth. It's always been there. But now in our culture, what is being taught is really there's no objective truth. There's your truth, there's my truth. And Jesus is saying, there is truth, and that truth is in God's Word. Your Word is truth. Now, in the context of John's Gospel, this takes on a very deep and rich meaning, because the Gospel begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word is Jesus. Right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. The Word is Jesus. So where do we find ultimate truth? We find it in the fullest expression of God that we've ever perceived, and that is Jesus Christ, God who took on human flesh. So all that Jesus did and said was the embodiment of truth. No falsehood in him, only truth. So Jesus is the ultimate Word of God. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And so Jesus, in one sense, is saying, I am the truth. Now, he said that, didn't he? Just a little bit earlier, again, in this discourse, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth. But in addition to that, we have his word. God's revealed word in Scripture, where we find truth, and the truth is so important to us. God's word is inspired, which means God breathed. Find that in 2 Timothy 3:16. It is God's word to us. Scripture is unified in its view that this is God speaking to us, and that what is here is his will. It is for us. It is truth to transform. But again, it's not just done on our own. It is through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth working within us. We are utterly dependent upon God for all things, including understanding ultimate truth. So we pray for the Spirit to be at work, to change us, to sanctify us, to purify us. But again, we come back to this amazing truth. Jesus is praying for you to be sanctified in the truth, to be purified, to be a people that are acceptable to God. That is the power of God's grace at work within us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is confused about truth. It always has been. But now it seems that it's just codified. It's taught that there is no truth. We ask that you would reveal to us your truth in deeper and richer ways, that we would find our hearts and our minds being transformed, that we would find our knowledge growing. For Lord, we are told that to know you, to know truth, to know you is eternal life. And so help us to know you, to know the truth, to have clarity as we make decisions, so that your transforming love would be at work within us, that we might experience joy and unity and the assurance of eternal life, that the world around us would see and we would bear witness to truth, and it would be seen as beautiful and glorious because it is your truth. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is the Word, the truth. Amen.